Take your Bible and go to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18. Now, we do have pew Bibles there for you. If you don't have a Bible, also, we'll have it on the screen there for you in just a few minutes. Genesis chapter number 18. While you're finding Genesis chapter number 18, let me give you the backstory or the background of this story. Y'all remember this story because God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Now you have to remember, Abraham's like 100. Sarah, his wife's like 90. And God comes in there and says, hey, I'm going to give y'all a son. And Abraham, now this is in the Hebrew, Abraham's like, what are you talking about, Willis? You know, I'm 100, my wife's 90. Ain't no way. I know you're not supposed to say ain't, but we in Millsfield. Ain't no way. Now, I want you to look at verse number 11. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she's past, that's what that means, she's past childbearing. Okay? Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. She laughed. She heard God tell Abraham, said, Abraham, this will give you a son. Sarah's over eavesdropping, and she goes, laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Verse 14, you ready? Here's our sermon this morning. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. God said, and asked Abraham a question. And he said this, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd bless us now the next few minutes. God, we thank you for all that you do for us. And I'm praying, Lord, you'd help us in a mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I think we can all say that this morning, that we can agree. And matter of fact, this question that God asked Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? If you were to go to the book of Jeremiah, now, you'll have to help me up there, but in Jeremiah, the answer to this question is found in Jeremiah chapter number 32 and verse number 17. And this is what it says. Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. God asked Abraham a question and said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And Jeremiah read Genesis 1:1, and he couldn't go any further past Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Jeremiah said, thou hast made the heaven and the earth with thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Ain't that good? God made, you know, there's a star out there that the astronauts and the people that study space cannot figure out. They're trying to figure out if there's life on Mars. Who cares? We can't handle what's on Earth. We can't control what's on Earth. Who wants to find out if there's life on Mars? They've been trying to figure all of that out. And there is one star up there, and I can't pronounce the name, but the volume is 27 billion times greater than our sun. And you know how God described when he made the stars? The only thing, five words, and he made the stars also. Period. He didn't go into a long, elaborate thing. He said, and I made the stars too. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah said, there is nothing too hard for thee. Now, here's a few things I want to show you. Number one, there is no promise that God cannot keep. There is no promise. God never made a promise that he could not keep. Can you say amen to that? There are 30,000 promises in the Bible, and every one of those promises God will keep. You think about this when he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Isn't that a good promise? Matter of fact, when he said, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is a good promise that God is going to keep. What about this one? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Boy, that's a good promise that God has kept. What about this? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth all men liberally, upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. What about this one? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a good promise? God's never made a promise that he could not keep. What about this one? If we, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our heavenly Father give good gifts through the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Boy, that's a promise that we have. We have a promise one day that we're going to heaven. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Think about this one. Numbers chapter number 23 and verse 19. This is what it says. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God, did you know that God can't lie? He can't lie. Look at this next verse right here in Titus chapter number 1 and about verse number 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, he did what? Promised before the world began. I heard about a story. They asked an older lady, and she was really bragging. Boy, she was bragging about her salvation. She was bragging. She said, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven one of these days. And, boy, when I get there, boy, that's the promises of God. And somebody asked her, said, well, what if you die? Suppose you die and find out that you wound up in hell. Suppose you get on your deathbed, you take your last breath, and you think you're saved, and you got this assurance and all the promises of God, and you find yourself in hell. Wouldn't your soul be lost? And she said, if I wind up in hell, God would lose more than I would. They said, what do you mean? He said, if I trust in Christ on the promises of God, and he still sends me to hell after he promised he would take me to heaven, God would lose his character. God would lose his honor if he doesn't stick to that promise. God's never had a promise that he could not keep. Number two, there's no prayer that God cannot answer. Stay in your seat, don't get excited. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There's never been a promise that he can't keep. There's never been a prayer that he can't answer. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed in jail. And they prayed, and when they got done praying, you thought Elvis wrote the song, The Jailhouse Rock. That's in Acts chapter number 16, a long time before Elvis ever was born. God rocked the jail before ever Elvis sung about it. Hallelujah. And at midnight they prayed, no prayer that God can't answer. All things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. There's no limits on God's prayer. No limits. You can pray, ask this mountain to be thou removed. Praying God. Now you say, preacher, sometimes my prayers don't get answered. Hey, have you ever noticed this? God answers all prayers. He answers all prayers. You think about this. You say, because we associate answering our prayers with a yes. The only way our prayers get answered if he says yes. But guess what? He can answer and say no. God, can I have this? No. Or not right now. That's an answer to prayer. You may not like the way he answered your prayer, but it is an answer to prayer. I think Billy Graham's wife, where's her name, Ruth? She said this. She said, I thank God he don't answer all of our prayers. She said, I'd have married the wrong man several times. You think about that? You think about that? Oh, he said, oh, Lord, let me marry him. Let me marry her. And then you find out 10 years later, he said, oh, Lord, thank you for not answering that one. There's not a promise that God cannot keep, and there's not a prayer that God can't answer. And number three, there's not a problem that he can't solve. There's not a problem. Is anything too hard for the Lord? There's nothing too hard for thee. I think Psalms 37 in verse number 3 says this, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Isn't that good? That is a, hey, there is no problem that you got that God cannot solve. You say, well, preacher, I know of several problems that the Lord hasn't solved. Well, have you ever thought about this? Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Sometimes God don't fix your problem like you think he ought to fix it. You think about this. Y'all remember the fellow by the name of Saul? Before he got saved, his name was Saul, and he was killing Christians. He was going through killing folks. Can you imagine the church getting down to the altar and say, Lord, this guy Saul is killing us and killing all our people. Lord, we just pray you'd kill him. I mean, he's of the devil. He's killing Christians. Get rid of him. Can you imagine? That would be a human prayer, wouldn't it? If he's killing all the church, Lord, get rid of him. Kill him. Well, instead of God fixing that problem and killing Paul, God just saved him. And he wrote 13 books in the New Testament that you're reading and sitting in your lap today. Aren't you glad God fixed the problem? He just didn't fix it like the church wanted. You remember that story in the Old Testament where Moses, they're out in the wilderness, and all them serpents started biting folks and killing them. Y'all remember that story? I think it's over there in Numbers, somewhere along in there. And over there in Numbers, all these snakes come out, and no doubt, I pray, I bet you those folks are saying, God, get rid of these snakes. Kill these snakes. I mean, that would be my prayer. I think it ought to be a law that all we kill all snakes. Hallelujah. You see all them folks and they got snakes as a pet. There's something. You're crippled too high for crutches. Something wrong with you. Pick up a snake and kiss it in the mouth. I watch videos. Get on YouTube. They're watching. They trying to do all these things. These snakes. Man, them things biting all that. And I'm like, yes, what you get. Fooling around with them. But not only God didn't get rid of all them snakes. Guess what? He told Moses, he said, you put this brazen snake on a pole, and if you'll look, you shall live. He didn't get rid of the snakes. He provided a remedy. Wouldn't you like for God to get rid of the devil? How many times, God, would you please get rid of the devil? Well, he ain't got rid of the devil, but what he did do, he put his son Jesus Christ on the cross and gave you a way to get away from the devil, and that was to trust his son Jesus Christ. That's how he fixed the problem. Sometimes God don't always fix the problem like you think he ought to fix it. I heard about a farm boy, old farm boy one time, little boy. He was criticizing the way the Lord made creation. He got to looking around, and he said, if I'd have been doing it, I'd have done it differently. He said, for example, you look at this big old oak tree, humongous oak tree, got them little bitty old acorns on it. I wouldn't have done it that way. He looked down beside him on the farm. He said, look at that little bitty old vine. Got them big old watermelons on it. Them big old oak trees got little bitty acorns on it. Little bitty old vine got some big old watermelons on it. If I was doing it, I'd have put them big old watermelons on that big old oak tree. If I was doing it. About that time, one of them acorns fell off, hit him on top of the head. He said, thank the Lord there wasn't a watermelon. Sometimes God don't do it like you think he ought to do it. But when he does it, it's done just right. There's not a problem that God can't fix. Now, let me say this. There's not a person God cannot save. There is not a person that God cannot save. That Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That Bible says, with God, all things are possible. You imagine, we just mentioned the Apostle Paul. God saved him. People's asked me a question. Can God save anybody? If he can save the Apostle Paul, he can save anybody. Paul was a murderer. He was killing church folk. If God can save him, he can save anybody. Say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. It don't matter what you've done. Whatever you've done, get it under the blood. Forget about it. If God can forget about it, so can you. There's not a person that God cannot save. Now, let me get to part two of this sermon. Now, go back to that one slide. It's got all them points on it. God never made a promise he couldn't keep. Amen? God never had a prayer he couldn't answer. Amen? God never had a problem he couldn't solve. And God has never had a person he couldn't save. Isn't that good? But let me ask you a question. Why hadn't God fixed all my problems? Why hadn't God answered all of my prayers? Why hasn't God saved all the people I've prayed for? If he can save anybody, if he can answer all the problems, if he can do all of these things, if there's a prayer that he can't answer, why ain't he answered all my prayers? If all the problems that God can solve, why ain't my problem solved? Y'all ever ask yourself that? What does it mean? Well, let me say this like this. And we'll find us a good stopping point here in just a second, about an hour and a half. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But did you know that you can limit God from doing those four things? You mean to tell me somebody, a puny old sinner like me, can limit a big old God like that? Let me give you an example. Matter of fact, there's a verse up there, I think, and it's, can't remember where it's at. There it is, thank the Lord. Because I forgot where it was at. Psalm 78, verse 41, this is what God told the nation of Israel. Yea, they turned their back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Oh, did you know you can limit God? You say there ain't nobody big enough to limit God. Oh, yes, it is. Think about this. Let me give you another story illustration. I think it's about Matthew 27. Don't think that one's up there, but in Matthew 27, Jesus is going to the Garden of Gethsemane. He prays in sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And all of a sudden, the soldiers with the torches and lanterns leading by Judas Iscariot, they're coming to arrest the Lord. Right? Is Jesus God? The right answer is this. He is God. God manifests in the flesh. Can he do anything he wants to? Can he answer any prayer? Can he save any person? Can he answer all the problems or the promises we have? Guess what? They put handcuffs on the Lord. Handcuffs on, they limited God because he allowed them to. Bible says, no. Jesus said, no man taketh my life, I lay it down to myself. Simon Peter, love Simon Peter. People say, you're not supposed to carry a gun. Simon Peter, man, he said, Simon Peter saw them arresting the Lord. What'd Simon Peter do? He pulled his gun out. A sword. And so he's going for his head. He's fixing to chop his head. You say, well, he got his ear. That's because the guy did like this, and Simon Peter cut across that ear. Jesus said, Simon, put your sword up. Did you not know I could have called 12 legions of angels? A legion, that's 12,000, 12 times 12, that's 144,000 angels at the snap of his finger. Simon Peter, put your sword up. I can call 144,000 angels to come down here if I want to. I'm letting them limit me. Sometimes our promises don't get promised because we got the Lord like this. Sometimes our prayers get answered because we got the Lord like this. Sometimes our problems don't get solved because we got the Lord like this. Can he do everything? Is there anything too hard for God? No. Nothing too hard for thee. But we can limit the Holy One of Israel. You know why? How? Number one, you can limit the Holy One of Israel by our unwilling spirit. Did you know that God can save anybody? God can save anybody, but they must be willing. If God can save anybody, why don't he just snap his fingers and save everybody? Because they have to be willing. I still remember this guy in my, this has been years, this has probably been 15 years ago. I was in Shelbyville, Tennessee, and there's a fellow on the second row. He came a couple times to the revival. And I'm talking about, listen, we don't hear about this very often anymore, but how many of y'all ever seen somebody grip the back of the pew so tight that their knuckles turn white? This man, I'm talking about, was under conviction. God wanted to save him, would have saved him, and he wasn't willing. Why? Because you can limit God. Amen. You can put God in a restraint to where he can't answer your prayer. He can't give you all the promises. He can't solve all your problems. He can't save everybody because we got the Lord limited up. An unwilling spirit. But then look at the next one. Not only an unwilling spirit, but an unconcerned attitude. An unconcerned attitude. You know what Jesus said over there? Jesus said this, I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's what Revelation chapter 3 says. About verse 15 to 16. That's what it says. He said the church is so unconcerned today. The church as a whole makes me sick. The church has its head stuck in the sand, wondering who's going to be the next bachelor or the bachelorette. Amen. We're wondering who's going to be the next voice or who's going to be the next American Idol. Church, let me tell you something. All that stuff is well and good, but I'm telling you what, we're coming down to the end of this thing, and the church better get its head out of the sand and get concerned about what's going on around us. We can limit God with an unwilling spirit. We can limit God by an unconcerned attitude. But number three, let me give you this. Not only an unconcerned attitude, but an unreasonable mindset. You know that Bible says this, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Jesus said, just be reasonable. Just be reasonable. Romans chapter 12 says the same thing. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus said, just be reasonable. Don't be unreasonable. You ever run across somebody that's unreasonable? I asked a fellow one time, I said, won't you come to church? He said, I ain't come to church. I said, why ain't you come to church? He said, because my mama made me go to church when I was a kid. And I promised, I said, when I got 18, ain't nobody making me go to church. I said, won't you quit lying? Boy, I wouldn't say it if he was bigger than me. But he's a little smaller than me. And I said, won't you quit your lying? He said, I ain't lying, preacher. And my mama did make me. I said, let me ask you one. Did she make you take a bath when you was a kid? You still take baths? Well, yeah. I said, did she make you get up and go to school when you was a kid? Are you still learning through life? Well, yeah. Amen. He said, well, you do have a point. I said, well, she made you go to church. Why don't you still go? You know what I hear? All the time. There's too many hypocrites in the church. You know what I tell them? Scoot over. We'll make room for a couple more. Come on. Did you know there's some doctors that are shysters? Right? Maybe there's no doctors. I don't know. Maybe, hey, did you know there are some doctors that are quacks? But don't you find a good one to go to? Just because there's a few quacks, aren't there some lawyers out there that's a little shady? What, some... Well, sometimes you need a good one, and you find a good one. Did you know there are people in church? You know there's people in church that are hypocrites. Y'all know that. There's people in churches that are hypocrites. There sure are. But you know what? There's as many or more at Walmart. Matter of fact, Brother Charlie, I went to the grocery store. I bought a thing of eggs, and I didn't look in like I was told to look in there and make sure all of them was good. I just picked up. They're supposed to be all good. They're sitting on the shelf for sale. So I picked them up, put them in the bucket, got home, and there was one in there that was a hypocrite. So what I did, I just throwed the whole 12 away. Now, how dumb is that? Don't be unreasonable. Be reasonable. Well, somebody got my parking spot. Hey, we're coming up on the season now where somebody's going to get your parking spot at Walmart and Target and everywhere else. But I bet you still keep going. Hallelujah. Boy, y'all were shouting real good when I said, boy, there ain't a promise that God can't keep. Hallelujah. Woo. There ain't a prayer that God can't. Woo. But how we limit that, boy, we got the Lord's hand tied behind his back. He can't answer prayer. He can't fulfill the promises. He can't save her. We got him tied up. We've limited the Holy One of Israel. Now let me say this. We've got an unclean lifestyle. You know what that Bible says? That Bible says over there in Isaiah 59, that Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he can't hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You said, preacher, why can't I get my prayers answered? Is everything clean between you and the Lord? I can't get any promises headed my way. Every time somebody knocks on my door, I think it's a promise. I open my door, and it's a problem. Lord, what are you trying to do to me? Lord says, well, maybe if you'd untie me. Let me get the Pentecostal side over here. Maybe if you'd untie me. Maybe if you'd get everything fixed between me and you. That's why every time before we pray, Lord, if there's anything right now between me and you that needs to be fixed, cleaned up, Lord, I pray right now you would remove it out of our way. Anything that would hinder my prayer from getting answered right now, Lord, please remove it out of my life. And then what you're doing, what you do, you untie the Lord. And he says, thank you. Now I can work in your behalf. Well, some of you will get it about 2:30 in the morning. And boy, you'll make your bed a trampoline in the middle of the night. Unclean lifestyle. I got one more, and I'm done. No amens, please. Tommy said that slipped out. But I got one more. An unbelieving heart. You know what Jesus said this? I may have the verse up there in Matthew 13 and verse number 58. It's what he said. And he, talking about Jesus, he did not many mighty works there because of their, what? Can God do anything? There's nothing God can't do. But he didn't do the mighty miracles that he could have done. in that particular city because of their unbelief. Ladies and gentlemen, God can answer all of your prayers. God can give you all the promises. God can save anybody. God can fix all of your problems. But there's some things that I got to do on my end to get them things headed this direction. I don't want to have an unwilling spirit. I don't want to have an unconcerned attitude. I don't want to be unreasonable. Are you unreasonable? Are you unconcerned? Do you have an unbelieving heart? Guess what, this morning? God can save anybody in this room. But not if you're not willing. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. I want you to stand to your feet all over the building. I want you to listen to this song. Listen to this song. And if you need to come to the altar and pray about anything, it's time.
It's out of your hands. You've done all you
Nothing's
can
too hard for God.
Do.
God can fix your problem.
You've given God the problem. It's no longer up to you. You've prayed the prayer of faith. You're standing on God's truth. While you're waiting on the answer, He has a question for you. It's clear how much He loves you. Look at all He's done. For all your questions, there's really only one. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power? He's not the master of. Is anything too hard for God? Are there situations He's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God?
For the Lord. Jeremiah said, there's nothing too hard for thee. Isn't that good? I appreciate you being here this morning. Joe, I'm glad to see you this morning. Stacy, glad to see you. And Shelby,